as often happens when I read these passages, not even just the gospel, but especially it seems the gospel passages, there are so much in these short passages that I am grateful that we don't, that I don't just get one shot at each of these, because there's too much. There's too much. As I've sat with this text from the Gospel of John, in particular this week, I have found myself thinking a lot about scars, about how we get them, about how we feel about them, about if and when and with whom we talk about them. I've been thinking about my own scars, for starters. I have a few scars from injuries, like one right here from a time when I was trying to force open a can of tuna fish that the can opener had not fully opened. Not a good idea. I have three tiny scars on my right knee from a time when I had arthroscopic surgery after I tore my ACL, my anterior cruciate ligament, playing lacrosse in college. I also have a few scars from accidents, not really injuries, but I have one here from a time when I tried to pick up one of my cats, who apparently did not want to be picked up, but had not communicated that to me. I have one up here from a time when I was 4 years old and rambunctious and running around in the yard, the lawn outside of my home church, and I somehow ran headlong into a statue and cut my head open. I also have scars on my belly from my pregnancies, one of which was 21 years ago, not the pregnancy, one of which ended 21 years ago today on Sarah's birthday. And those scars remind me of the times in my life when I had tiny humans actually growing inside of me. So I suspect that some, if not all of you, have scars on your bodies, whether they're from injuries or accidents or life events, whether they represent something that you're proud of or something that you're ashamed of, whether they're easily visible to the world around you or not, regardless of how they came to be, regardless of the stories that we tell about them, regardless of where they are on our bodies, our scars are part of our story. As we tell their stories, they tell things about us and about how we've lived our lives and what we've experienced. Whether they're big or little, or whether they seem significant or not, our scars are part of who we are. And of course, even though so far I've only talked about visible scars, there are also invisible scars. Scars that result from emotional rather than physical injury. Scars that can't be seen by the naked eye even when fully unclothed. Scars that reside within us rather than on us. Scars caused, for example, by hurtful words that were spoken to us, or hurtful words perhaps spoken by us. Scars left after witnessing a traumatic event or living through a traumatic experience. Scars resulting from having been shamed or misunderstood or neglected, whether intentionally or not. And then there's the scar from having grown up not fully knowing our belovedness, having been raised by adults who never fully knew their belovedness, who had been raised by others who never fully knew their belovedness, and so on and so on and so on, leading all of humanity, I believe, to bear that particular scar. All of us, not just all of us here, but all people everywhere bear scars. Some are visible, some are not. Either way, they're part of us. They're part of our story. My scars are part of what make me, and your scars are part of what makes you, you. When I was younger, in fact, I knew a set of twins, identical twin brothers. It was nearly impossible to tell them apart, except that one of them had a very small scar on his eyebrow. And before I could call either of them by name, I had to look for that scar. So whether they're from injuries or life events, whether they represent something we're proud of or something we're ashamed of, whether they're visible to the naked eye or not. Our scars are part of what makes us who we are. So what do our scars have to do with Jesus and Easter? Well, as we heard in today's passage, when the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples, it was because of his scars that they recognized him. It was through seeing his wounded hands and the place in his side that had been pierced by the soldier's sword that they believed he wasn't a ghost. It was only after he had shown them his scars that they knew it was really him, that he had really shown up among them. And it was only then, according to John, that they rejoiced. And as I think about that, as I think about how the resurrected Jesus was known and recognized by his disciples only after he showed them his scars, I wonder if it's in acknowledging and showing our scars that we can be seen and known, truly seen and deeply known. I think that might be true. I think it's when we're able to be honest about our scars, yes, the visible ones, but even more so the invisible ones, that we can be truly known. First, just known to ourselves, and then to one another. A kind of deep knowing of ourselves and of one another that frees us to deeply care for one another. When I'm able to acknowledge, for example, when it's safe and appropriate, that my heart has been broken by my daughter's experiences with an eating disorder. Those who witness that suddenly see me more fully and know me a little more deeply. And if there's someone there who says, oh, my heart has also been broken by a loved one's experiences with an eating disorder, then there's more deep knowing and there is immediately deeper caring. I think it's when we're able to be honest about the things in our lives that have hurt us and injured us and damaged us, the things in our lives that have in some way permanently marked us, that have left a scar. When we're able to be honest about those things, first even just with ourselves, then with God, and then maybe, if it's safe, with one another, then we can be more truly seen. We can first see ourselves and then one another more deeply and more clearly and more kindly. I read a reflection recently on this passage by the Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber. And she said this, "I never really feel a connection to someone until they have shared with me the lumpy, broken, petty parts of themselves. I may be inspired by the virtue and accomplishments of others, but I only feel less alone when someone shares their failures with me, the parts of themselves that have been hurt." In other words, when someone shares their scars. And it's not only about feeling less alone. It's not only even about being seen or being known. All of those things are very important and wonderful to experience and critical, I think, for true flourishing. But there's even more. I'm going to read a little bit more from Nadia. "Being an Easter people, a people of resurrection, is not to have all of the bad things that we have done or that have happened to us erased. Resurrection is not reversal. The things that happened to Jesus's body, the state-sanctioned violence, the flogging, the crucifixion, those things remained even after he defeated death and rose from the grave. He still bore the marks of that pain, but the pain was not what defined him. What defined Jesus, and this is me now talking again, what defined him was the way he manifested God, the way he revealed who God is in all of who he was, in all of what he did, in his life, in his death, in his life after death, in his resurrection. Jesus turned everything that people thought they knew about who God was upside down. He hung out with outcasts and ate with sinners, revealing a God who valued them as much as, or maybe even more, than everyone else. He touched the unclean, and he used spit and dirt to heal people, revealing a God who would get God's own hands dirty to heal and make whole God's children. Jesus put people's needs above the law's demands, and he put love above legalism, revealing a God whose heart longed for loving relationship rather than empty ritual or self-congratulatory righteousness. One more quote from Nadia. The thing that really cooked people's noodles wasn't the question, is Jesus like God? It was the question, what if God is like Jesus? What if God is not who we thought? What if the most reliable way to know God is not through religion, but is through a person? What if the most reliable way to know God is to look at how God chose to reveal God's self in Jesus, even in his wounds? Which brings us back to Jesus' wounds. The marks on his hands and in his side. His scars. And the fact that that night, that first Easter evening, it was in seeing his scars that he was recognized by his disciples. It was in Jesus showing them his scars that he was known, even in his resurrected body. The resurrection didn't make his scars go away. It didn't make everything all new and perfect and shiny. Instead, it was by his scars that he was known. And it's by his scars that God is known too. It's by Jesus' scars that God is revealed, not only as a God who sees our pain and the things that hurt us and that leave their marks on us, but God is a God who has experienced that pain in God's very self. By his scar, Jesus reveals a God who bears scars, even as that God conquers death. Our scars, like those in Jesus' hands and side, will always be part of us. They will always be part of our story, but they are never the whole story. They are never the end of the story. The end of the story is not hurt, but healing. The end of the story is not despair, but hope. The end of the story is not shame, but love. The end of the story is not death, but is everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Amen.